comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous place we call Earth. Thanks for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. I know you could be doing a million other things tonight, but you chose to be here, and I'm delighted you have. I think you will be, too. We're here because you have a right to know and because you matter. Tonight is K-Files night. Every Friday night is K-Files night. K-Files is our free weekly newsletter, of course, and we invite you, if you're not subscribed, to do so. It's free. You can unsubscribe anytime you want to, and you will not be bombarded with spam as a result of subscribing. So just slide over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com. You'll see right in the middle of your screen, in big letters, it says K-Files. If you click that, the magic happens. Right there, you can subscribe, and you'll get an email that has a link in it for you to activate your subscription. Be sure you do that, and then you'll get the K-Files. If you do it right now, you'll get the K-Files when we begin sending them out tonight. Now, last night, we talked about some breaking news. And it truly is not only breaking, but earthquaking news. Coming from actually a filmmaker in Slovenia. And this news is that in 1961, the United States of America bought the Yugoslavian secret space program. Lock, stock, and barrel bought the space program. And that there were portions of that that sort of became the basis for the Apollo missions to the moon. And yes, indeed, that is breaking news. Yes, indeed, that is earthquaking news. It amazes me, though, because I got several emails, not too many, I got maybe 1% of the emails that came in, from people who actually must have had their heads so far in where the sun doesn't shine that their ears were covered, and they absolutely did not listen to the show. They responded out of their emotions and simply did not listen. What did I say last night about breaking news? Do you remember? Those of you with gray cells in gear, you remember. I said breaking news is breaking news. It's just information. And as further information develops, the breaking news maybe falls apart or maybe it gets stronger. Maybe it gets bigger. You don't know. You have to wait and see how the information develops. You would be surprised at the people. No, you wouldn't. If you live in America, you wouldn't be surprised. You're quite aware of the masses of mushrooms. So it wouldn't surprise you. But anyway, it's breaking news. Okay? Breaking news. That means we're on the front bumper of this, and we have to see how the information develops with time. But it's fantastic news. By fantastic, I mean it's just amazing, astounding, even a little bit startling news. And tonight, we're going to talk with the guy who brought that to you. His name is Giga Wirtz, and after this break, he's going to join us live from Slovenia. All of the music used here at The Kevin Smith Show is from independent artists. Most of it from independent artists at musicalley.com. Go over to musicalley.com. Check out thousands of artists and
thousands of great independent tunes. MusicAlley.com.
All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And boy, I'll tell you, we are really privileged to have with us tonight Giga Wirtz. And we are privileged not only because of the fact that he is the person responsible for us knowing this story, but we're also quite privileged to have him with us because right at this moment it's 10 minutes past 4 a.m. in the morning where he is. But he is graciously with us. Giga, welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. Hang on a second. It helps if I push the right buttons and turn your volume up as well. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Hello, good morning from Slovenia.
Giga, we're going to get into all of the big story that's out there right now, and it has turned out to be a really big story for you as well, because since it hit YouTube, since it was on the internet, you've pretty much done nonstop interviews, haven't you?
Yeah, that's right. We put this video of Houston. We have a problem of our docudrama trailer online on Monday night, actually, from Monday to Tuesday, and today it's Friday night, and we already had more than 500,000 views, and I don't count interviews anymore, to be honest. But it's pretty amazing, yeah, what's going on.
Well, in fact, when I caught up with you, you were in Austria, and you were traveling, and you very graciously agreed. We figured out that it was going to be 4 a.m. for you when we did this interview, and you very graciously agreed anyway, so I thank you.
Sure. You're welcome.
When we watch this video, we learn that you are an Academy Award nominated filmmaker.
Yeah, well, to be more precise regarding that, because we got some questions about that. My graduation film was nominated for Academy Awards. Actually, it's Academy Awards for a student short fiction film.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a student Academy Awards by Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. That was in 2010, so 2 years ago. And it was a film called Trieste is Ours.
Mm-hmm.
Which also had some pretty interesting background story, the media story, because the Italian Ministry of Foreign Affairs complained a lot about this film, and it got a lot of media attention at that time. So it seems like that I'm born for these kind of topics that just raise a lot of attention.
Well, certainly this one does. Now, I understand why Trieste is Ours would raise a lot of attention in Italy.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that was a real bone of contention after World War II as to who was going to control Trieste. And so I can understand why that would still be hot, especially for the Italians. Now, we took a look last night. Those who are watching our TV channel will see it again tonight, your trailer, which, of course, you explained to me is not technically really a trailer. It's a proposal. But they'll get to see it again tonight. They saw it last night. And when we watch this, we kind of get shocked by a lot of people, especially, I think especially in the West, get shocked to learn about the high level of advanced technology that was present in Yugoslavia. One of the emails I got, Žiga, he said, have you lost your marbles? Talking to me, he says, have you lost your marbles? Yugoslavia was a poor country, and, these are the people that brought us the Yugo, you know, the car. And my response to that is, yeah, and we're the people that brought the world the Edsel. I mean, this means nothing. But Yugoslavia was not a poor country.
Mm-hmm.
Yugoslavia, I found out when I got there, very modern country, good standard of living, high level of technology available to people. There is now no more Yugoslavia. Slovenia was one of the republics in Yugoslavia. You're in Slovenia. And let me just ask, are you at home now?
Yeah, well, basically, I'm at home, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, you obviously have broadband internet. because here you are.
On my fiber internet connection via MacBook Air.
Okay. Well, I mean, you've got technology, and that's the point. And it's always been this way. Yugoslavia was not a third world country. And I think it's very important for folks, especially in the West, and I think especially in America, to learn this, to know this. That's fiction. If you've been taught that, which we were taught because it was communist, it had to be third world. And then when the communists kicked Tito and Yugoslavia out of the international, the International Communist Party. They got kicked out.
Movement, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah, they got kicked out in 1948. So then they had to start telling us, well, okay, the communists say he's not a communist, but it's socialist, so it's bad. It's and life is terrible there. But it's very important for people in the West to understand, while you may disagree with politics, that doesn't mean that life was bad. And, you know, the people had a good education. And you go there now, and people speak several languages. They have a good education. Tonight, and I'm going to just warn our listeners and you too, I also got an email, Giga, because you talk about and you show us parts of this underground base. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about that. I got email from people who said that this has to be a hoax, that Yugoslavia was not capable of having all these advanced underground bases. And folks, I've stood there. I've been at one of the largest ammunition plants in Yugoslavia. Was underground in the town where I had my principal office. And, I mean, I know this is true. I've watched the trucks coming and going. I've seen them disappear into hillsides, and I know it's true. So I'm going to show some more video from inside that very same underground base that you refer to. It's right on the border with it's Bosnia and Croatia. It's right on the border. So let's dive in at the front end of this. You're a young guy. How old are you?
I'm 24. We're going to be 25 in 2 weeks.
Okay, so we'll say 25. You're closer to that.
All right,
so 25 years old, and quite obviously, these events that you are talking about in your documentary mm-hmm. are before your time.
Yeah. Yeah,
they're not before my time. I was living then. I remember when Tito came and visited with Kennedy. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing that on television. I remember seeing Tito's picture on the cover of Life magazine. So I lived through those times. I remember it. You didn't. So why are you interested in it?
Well, this is sort of a long story, but we have time. Basically, I went to primary school after Slovenia declared independence, so after 1991. And it was a really weird situation because somehow we couldn't get enough info when I was a child, you know, in primary school about Yugoslavia, about Tito, you know, everything was... I mean, I'm not sure if they were trying to hide anything, but probably just the school system at that time decided, you know, not to tell too much about socialism, about Second World War, partisan soldiers, and so on, because now we live in this good new democracy. Meaning that we just didn't know much about what was going on before between 1940 and 1991. But on the other hand, you know, you go to your, you know, grandparents' place, to their neighbor's place, and they still have Tito's picture on the wall, and you somehow start asking, you know, who is this guy? What did he do? Was this, you know, what's behind that? And then they start telling you some another stories, and you feel like there is something more behind that. Probably if at that time they would just tell us, you know, okay, this happened, Tito was this and that, maybe later on I wouldn't be so interested. And then I started at some point provoking a little bit. Already in the primary school, so I still remember I had, okay, might sound a bit weird, but at that time, you know, as a child, you didn't think about politics or something, you just think about something that's intriguing for you. And I had a small cassette of Tito's speeches, actually. And somehow, well, my teachers, they were a little bit mad when they heard my cassette I was playing at school. Because I found it's really provocative, so it means that there is some really, really strong story behind Tito and everything, but somehow they just didn't tell us much about it. So I think that would be the answer to your, you know, question, why does that interest me in general?
Well, I told folks last night about the pictures of Tito. You know, I have been in many homes in several of the republics. And if it's a home of the older generation, and I don't mean ancient generation, I just mean at that time, you know, 45 years old up, you know, they had a picture of Tito. And when you ask, you know, they spoke about Tito with a lot of admiration. They viewed him in pretty much the same way as Americans view George Washington. But the younger generation doesn't seem to have that same admiration. At least that was what I found. Now, we're going to move from this topic in just a moment, but let me just get you to comment on that. Is that correct? The younger generation just doesn't identify with that?
Yeah, what can I say about it? It's pretty interesting because I cannot really generalize younger generation because I've met, well, people of my age thinking in completely different ways. But it mostly depends on what they were taught at home. Mm-hmm. Of course, families that would still have Tito's picture on the wall, they would admire him, stating, yeah, it was those were really, really great times. We had a lot of jobs. We had you know, we had our car, we had our holidays, and so on. On the other hand, probably some families with different sort of background would say that the system was bad for them at that time. And even also, I mean, also younger generation would state the same, even if they didn't experience anything at all. So, for instance, I'm not really, you know, Tito's fan in this very general way or something. I'm just saying that we have some sort of history which is still important for us and that should not be underestimated.
All right, now let me tell you why I bring this up, and I think the audience needs to understand why I brought all this up about the feelings about Tito. Just like your film that was nominated for Academy Award, just like that film brings up a subject that brings up a lot of passions on both sides of the issue. And as you said, the Italian government reacted against it. They didn't like the film. Okay.
Just a small correction. At that time, they didn't even see the film at all.
Mm-hmm.
They just saw the trailer on YouTube.
Well, in the same way, now, this is why I brought up the passions that people have about Tito, because in the same way, this film, I think, is going to touch a lot of passions on both sides of that fence, too.
Yeah.
Does that concern you?
No, it's great for me and for the project, I would say, because I think film should make people talk about things that are important. I'm not sure in which way, in which direction we will go with this film, because we got so many very, well, emotional feedbacks, not just directly connected to our main story, which is Yugoslavian space program, but also to what happened to Yugoslavia, what people think about different nationalities, you know, about the war, and, you know, all different topics that are just connected to Yugoslavia. It's really interesting how one topic is really intriguing for like 10 other topics.
Which is
for me great as a filmmaker, because it means we have quite broad subject.
It's also very interesting how those passions really are different if you're in the Balkans or not. Now, let me give you an example. In the Balkans, people who like Serbs, and people who don't, hate them. People who like Bosnians, they like them, and people who don't hate them. I mean, it's really extreme passion about it that you can run into out there. And yet, you come over here to the United States, and you can go into a Serbian restaurant or Serbian bar, and you'll see in this place there'll be some Serbs, there'll be some Croatians, there'll be some Bosnians, and you know, and everybody's good friends, and the music starts playing, and they get up and dance together, and everything's cool. And I've sat and watched that and thought about, yeah, but if we were back over there, it might not be so friendly. And that's a bit of a mystery to me, but I have seen and lived through some of those passions over there, and the reasons for them, and I can understand. I can understand why those passions are there. So let's talk about this Yugoslavian secret space program. I'm looking at the clock, and I see we have a break coming up here in about 15 seconds or so. So we'll jump into the Yugoslavian secret space program after this next break. Be sure, if you're watching, that you pay attention to what's going to happen in this break, all right? We'll be back.
Conquering space was a question of politics, technology, and prestige. Yuri Gagarin was sent to space, and the United States had to accept a shameful defeat and the triumph of socialism. But it's little known that socialist Yugoslavia was a third player in the race, developing its own secret space program. The Yugoslavs made rapid development based on the unknown diaries of Yugoslav space pioneer Hermann Potočnik Nordum. His book, The Problem of Space Travel, from 1929, served as an inspiration for further development to Wernher von Braun, ex-Nazi, and later the mastermind of the American space program. But there were also other unpublished Potočnik diaries hiding new and unknown brilliant technical ideas. The CIA could not find these documents, but in 1947, the Yugoslav Secret Service, by order of President Tito, did. The technical solutions described in these papers were the basis for establishing a secret Yugoslav space program in 1948, after Tito's conflict with Stalin. In late 1960, the CIA discovered that Yugoslavia already had operational spaceflight technology. Yugoslavia secretly sold its complete space program to the U.S. in March 1961. In May 1961, Kennedy announced that the U.S. had chosen to go to the moon.
President Kennedy welcomes a man to the White House. He's receiving President Tito of Yugoslavia.
We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
With generous American financial support, Yugoslavia began rapid economic development. Tito traded the life of a guerrilla soldier for a luxury lifestyle.
Yugoslavia is probably the most prosperous of the communist nations, and $2.5 billion from the United States did much to prime the pump.
Ja sam morao raditi od svoje šeste godine pa do danas.
Driving around in a Cadillac, drinking expensive American whiskey, and gaining unprecedented popularity worldwide. In this documentary, we will reveal how Tito built the biggest secret underground space center in Europe. We will reveal how the US's Saturn rockets and Apollo modules were mainly made in Yugoslavia. We will reveal how Tito and his wife Jovanka were regularly visiting NASA premises and monitoring further developments.
Now I'd like to show you the Apollo, the man in service module.
Army Army base Object 505 on today's Croatian-Bosnian border still holds the biggest national secret space program. After the Balkan Wars, it was partly destroyed and heavily mined. But underneath the surface, you can still find the untouched remains of the Yugoslavian space program. We will go there and reveal the hidden side of the space race. From Academy Award-nominated director Žiga Virts. Houston, we have a problem.
Hi, this is Greg Yarbrough. You're listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and my conversation this evening, actually this very early morning for him, Academy-nominated filmmaker Žiga Virts, and we're talking about this pretty much of a video earthquake that he put on YouTube, and which those who are watching our TV channel have just seen, and those who are listening, you just heard. This is some pretty earth-shaking information, Žiga. How did you come into possession of this information?
It's pretty epic trailer, as we call it.
Yeah.
Well, now I hear myself also. I hear myself previously. So basically what we did was we made some, 2 years ago I started writing a script for a feature film, that would include also parts of Yugoslavian space program. It was a script for my first feature film to be, and that was a story about, well, Slovenians going to Mars and space. I'm a big fan of, Armageddon and the kind of films. On the other hand, we started doing more and more research about the Yugoslavian space program itself. And because at that time I just heard some things about it and I said, okay, let's include it in the fiction trailer. But then my uncle, started doing research and somehow we all around. Trailer for a film, because the film does not exist yet. It's more like a presentation of our research, and we put it on YouTube. So here we are now, I would say.
The information that you found, was this information primarily written in Serbian?
Well, we found many, many different info. From different sources, but I would still say, you know, like a lot of information that we got is, you know, you can mostly check it out on internet, I would say. But it's really interesting that we're not right now saying, you know, what's true, what's documentary, what's fiction. We're saying what can we prove so far, and what shall we prove in the sooner or nearer future. But it's really cool that we got such a lot of feedback. Like a huge number of people actually contacted us in the last 3 or 4 days, and we're getting more and more info. For instance, on this Object 505, mm-hmm. And we got some people knowing that, you know, I mean, we got some people, for instance, stating that no, there was nothing there. On the other hand, we got people, yeah, you know, like I was working at some projects on this at this object that others were not aware of, even at this object that there are supposed to be some places that usual soldiers didn't have access to, for instance. And it must, you know, I think there is something, it must have some sort of, it must be a little bit more important, because, for instance, 2 days ago, Bill Berry, who is a main NASA's historian, and Roger Lonius, he's a curator of National Air and Space Museum, you say they were like giving feedbacks on the trailer, for instance. That means that I would say that they are sending this link at NASA and questioning themselves what's going on. So, you know, it's not just a hoax that you can put on YouTube if people like that are giving feedback. Mm-hmm. And for instance, 2 or 3 days ago, Mike Vucelic, I think he's Croatian, he had a statement on Croatian television. He was a constructor of Apollo modules, and he was stating that he talked to Tito at that time, and Tito was really interested in Yugoslavian space program. So in a way, we are not sure where this project will go. You know, in a way, we don't really want to be too sensational about it, but you know, just regarding the fact that the project moved 3 or 4 steps onwards in last 4 days, I'm really interested in what we will find next.
Well, I can understand when you say you don't want to be too sensational about it.
Mm-hmm.
But the information all by itself is sensational. Just the information is sensational. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things that a lot of people over here in America, and probably, I can't say this for sure, but probably this is true in Great Britain, probably this is true in Canada. One of the things that comes to their minds probably is this notion that this is something that would have been beyond the reach and ability of Yugoslavia. And as I said, I've had people send me email and tell me that the notion of such an advanced underground base in Yugoslavia is just nonsense. Well, it's not nonsense, folks, and I'm going now to do something, and that is I've been showing the map location where this base is located. This base was called Object 505, and the front entrance of Object 505, as people can now see who are watching, is something you really wouldn't see from the air. You'd see the roadway, but it's very well hidden into the hillside. Now, there are some films, some video clips that are out there that show us not the really secret parts where the space program would have been, but it is inside of this base. It's inside of Object 505. And we can see that there are lots and lots of Yugoslavian fighter aircraft up in the tunnels here. And as people continue to watch this, they're going to see there are side tunnels. This is not just one big long tunnel. There are side tunnels. Ladies and gentlemen, this is just one of a very large number of underground bases that Yugoslavia had and that are still there. And I mean, one of them is at Tuzla, one of them is at Slatina. There's this one, but what we're seeing now is we're seeing a plane being pulled from one tunnel into another tunnel. So this is a big underground installation. And I think everybody can see that this is not a cave. This is a very modern, very clean, in fact, spotless installation. And, you know, it's big enough to house a whole bunch of these planes, as we have seen. So the idea that Yugoslavia couldn't do it, I think this lays it to rest. They did do it. And, I mean, they had these underground installations. They were very modern, very well equipped. And who knows how many of them there really were, but some of them are known. And so it's completely plausible that in a large underground installation like this, there could be a section where people were working on projects that, as you said, the normal soldiers were not allowed to go in there.
Yeah. Well, just to make a short comment on the object, well, there are two things. It's technology and knowledge behind all of this. Because there was a Slovenian person, Herman Potočnik Nordung. He wrote a book, The Problem of Space Travel. And this book was basis for everything that Werner von Braun, who was at that time German Nazi rocket scientist, and he established the whole NASA program. It was based actually on ideas of a Slovenian person, Herman Potočnik. So basically, you know, all the knowledge that NASA has right now was somehow based on that. And also the Soviet scientist, Sergei Korolev, he also stated that this book was really important to him. So, just to make it clear, at the time when Wright brothers were inventing airplane, Slovenian guy was writing a book about the hotel in space, you know what I mean, and the rockets, how they should be built. So we're not talking here about some, you know, nonsense in a way. There was knowledge before the First World War, before helicopters were used, you know, mm-hmm. He was already making on the paper rockets. And Object 505, of course, it's not a fiction at that time. I mean, it's still there. It's covered with minefield. That's a problem. And before the Yugoslavian war, it was destroyed after the Yugoslavian army, well, went out of this object. The object is there. People go there. And we are actually in touch with people that go there from time to time. And they sent us some new archive footage they possess. And it's pretty intriguing, yeah. So the object is there, and at that time it was one of the, well, it was actually the biggest, I think, in Europe, and one of the most advanced, because they had, Yugoslavia had its own supersonic jet fighters, for instance, there, and many other, you know, high-tech stuff hiding there. And that's, you know, our field of investigation.
Tell me again the man's name that wrote the book, Potočnik?
Yeah, it's Herman Potočnik with his nickname Nordung.
Okay. So at the time of the Wright brothers, we have Potočnik in Slovenia, yeah, writing about how to build rockets to travel in space.
Yeah.
And we have this guy from not Slovenia, but nearby by the name of Nikola Tesla. Yep. Who absolutely revolutionized the planet. You and I are having this conversation tonight, and we're broadcasting it simply because of the inventions and advancements made by Nikola Tesla.
Yep.
What is it about this area, the Balkans, that seems to breed such advanced thinking?
I honestly don't really have an answer to that. It looks like it just happened somehow. But I think the only problem that happens usually at Balkans, or I can say for Slovenia, that there are a lot of really smart people here, but somehow, for instance, Herman Potočnik, instead of becoming, you know, one of the world's most renowned scientists or masterminds or something, well, he died really young in a misery. And that happened to a lot of, you know, poets and writers, for instance, in Slovenia. Just happened the same thing. I suppose if he was born in, I don't know, USA, for instance.
We have to step away for break. We will return, ladies and gentlemen, right after this. So don't go away.
turn people out like pistons on a line. And people aren't people. They're just numbers on an endless sea of time. And if you grow up different, they look at you as if you were a crime. Cause you can't count numbers and you won't swim in their sea of time. Every generation thinks its dreams have never been dreamt before. And every generation thinks that it alone can end all wars. And every generation grows older quicker, but I'm not so sure. Whatever a generation is generated for.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we're talking this evening with filmmaker Žiga Virts, live from Slovenia very early in the morning. It is not yet 5 o'clock in the morning there, and he has graciously agreed to be with us. I didn't ask you this, but let me ask you, is this your first interview that you've done since Monday? With American media?
I think one of the most interesting calls was from ABC News, I think on Wednesday.
So you did an interview with ABC News already?
Well, they're trying to make a little bit bigger interview, and I think they're coming to Slovenia to make an interview next days, because they were also saying that they might go to Object 505, so they will do some bigger story, because there was a person calling for me that was also involved in Saddam Hussein's bunkers in Iraq, mm-hmm. also covering that story. So yeah, probably they will do a little bit bigger story.
Well, if they're going to Object 505, they need to bring a mine clearing team with them.
I hope. I said that I might not join them at that point.
Yeah.
But it should be pretty interesting. Yeah. But people go there, you know. People know how to get there, you know, to know their way and so on. So I think that they should be fine.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What this project? I mean, this is going to be big, big, big. What do you hope to accomplish with this? Now, I asked you earlier if it made you uneasy that this, because of the Tito factor, is certainly going to touch a lot of passions on both sides of the fence, people that love him, people that don't.
Yeah.
And I asked you if you were uncomfortable about that, and you said no. As a matter of fact, that was good for the film. Okay, but now this is a different question. What is it that you want to accomplish with this?
Basically, what we were trying to accomplish, I mean, just to make it a little bit clear what was the story behind this trailer. What we were trying to accomplish at the very beginning, I mean, at the beginning, that was Monday, so 5 days ago, and so many events happened it feels like it's been like a few months ago. But however, this trailer was made to find co-production partners. That was first thing. Distribution partners, funding. So it's more like, you know, part of research of our project and presenting it to potential partners and people that might have some connection to that story. But somehow what eventually happened was that we got 500,000 people watching this trailer on YouTube in a few days. But that was the basic idea, you know, to develop project more. I was actually, well, I can't say I was scared at the very beginning when I saw all this feedback. But after like 1 or 2 days, we found out that that was the best thing that could happen to a project. But I'm not saying this from the, you know, this sensational point of view. Yeah, you know, a lot of people watched us, but no, a lot of people contacted us and gave us a lot of new info and a lot of new contacts. I mean, you know, just for instance, we knew that probably throughout the research process, we would have to contact NASA, for instance, and we had no idea, you know, how to get in touch with them. I mean, is the best way just to send an email to info@nasa.org, you know, and say, hello, we are filmmakers. But now what happened was that we got people working there, not there, but, you know, projects for NASA, and they have contacts there. So somehow, instead of we would, as filmmakers, have to contact people there contacting us. And that's the best thing that happened.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I did last night was, and the audience is accustomed to me doing this, is to ask the question, is this story plausible? And I came to the conclusion that it is. And I did by saying, let's assume that this story is accurate. Let's assume that everything in this trailer is absolutely accurate. And let's follow it backward in time. And that's what we did. Now, one of the big things that this story does is it makes sense of something Kennedy said. President Kennedy, in May 1961, announced that America is going to go to the moon, right?
Right.
Well, see, in point of fact, that makes no sense. Unless it was just bravado, it makes no sense. And here's why. That was 1961. In 1960, they still were having trouble getting these rockets off the launch pad. They had a lot of mishaps with these rockets. So then you have May the 5th, I think it is, 1961. Alan Shepard, oh, and by the way, last night I said he climbed into a Gemini capsule, folks. It's Mercury. He climbed into a Mercury capsule, which, by the way, if you haven't seen one, you need to go see one at the Space Museum down at the Johnson Space Center. You can see one. It looks like a beer can. It's not much bigger than a Volkswagen. That's about the size of it. A Volkswagen Beetle, bug. It's small. So he climbs into this Mercury capsule sitting on top of one of these rockets that they've been having trouble getting launched. And this one works. And it takes him up into space and right back down. He doesn't orbit the Earth. It's just up and down. And then shortly after this, Kennedy makes the statement, "We choose to go to the moon." And I ask the question, how does that make sense? That's not plausible. On the strength, you can't even count on them being able to launch these rockets. And you have one success, and he doesn't even orbit the Earth, and I'm not taking anything away from his flight. But, you know, the Russians had already orbited the Earth, and we didn't until 1963. But he's up and down, and on the strength of this, Kennedy gets up and says, we're going to the moon. This makes no sense. I mean, it could be that it happened that way, but it makes no sense. It's not plausible. But if we then take the story that you've presented, which is that in March of 1961, the United States bought the secret space program of Yugoslavia. Then they have this one launch success. And Kennedy now would know we've got this technology from Yugoslavia, and we've had a launch success. My position in saying we're going to the moon is strengthened. I can get up and make the announcement. Mm-hmm. Now, this would make sense. This would be more plausible. But it's not plausible to me that Kennedy makes this speech and says we're going to the moon when all we have done is put a guy up and back down, and mainly we've had launch failures, but we had one launch success with a human in it. And, you know, that doesn't make sense that on the strength of that he would say we're going to the moon. What do you think about that?
Well, yeah, that's one of the things that you're talking about, and I agree with, that we found out it's really interesting how things progressed, because, yeah, we also did some research on the beginning of Apollo and, you know, Gemini projects and so on, and we found out quite similar facts, and, well, our hypothesis somehow fills that gap. Yeah, it felt like when we somehow put together all those puzzles, it made a lot of sense, because it actually, the Soviets were ahead of United States, you know, long way already, you know, orbiting the Earth.
Yeah.
And United States did not. I think that's why this film somehow has this intriguing story. Because it makes more sense now as some sort of unconfirmed story yet than the official story that we have about the history.
Well, there is also this. You know, I asked the question last night, what is there that would make Tito, whom our government said is a communist, what would make him want to sell the Yugoslavian space program to America when we would think his natural ally would be the Soviet Union? But the fact is, Stalin had tried to kill Tito 5 times. Yep. And Tito sent him a letter threatening him and said, if you don't stop it, I'll send somebody to Moscow and they won't have to come there twice. And so, you know, there was a huge rift between Tito and the Soviet Union, which politically then makes sense that he has a chance to give the Americans kind of a boost. Yeah, why not? All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back right after this, folks. Don't go away.
Music used here at the Kevin Smith Show is from independent artists. Most of it from independent artists at musicalley.com. Go over to musicalley.com. Check out thousands of artists and thousands of great independent tunes. Musicalley.com.
is Dante Petrilla. Check out my new book, God's Will, but only if you're stout of heart. Intrigue, conspiracy, remote viewing, spirituality, and danger. It's a mix that makes this novel a page-turner. Click the link right here on the Kevin Smith Show website and enter Alec Candon's world called God's Will.
And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening, Zsiga Wiertz, and he is an Academy Award-nominated filmmaker. He is the person behind the video that's shaking the world up out there right now. Now, Zsiga, when we went away for break, you had mentioned that you weren't sure how to get in touch with NASA, and now you have some connections that know some people there, and that's a good thing. But you need to know they're watching tonight. They watch this show every night. You're speaking to NASA tonight.
That's great.
Yeah. We have several NASA computers that come up online every night. Let's talk about this this location, this Object 5. Mm-hmm. In a way, it was sort of, I guess you've heard of Area 51 over here in America?
Yeah, definitely.
In a way, it was kind of Tito's version of Area 51, was it not?
Well, definitely it was the big army base. On the border, in the mountains, and so on, and somehow, divided from, not hidden, but, people didn't have access to that. There are, of course, a lot of similar stories, like Area 51. Maybe they're just not so, sensational, but, we just got, contact 2 days ago, I think, that there were some Yugoslavian army officers stating that there were also some weird things going on, like, I'm not, maybe talking about aliens is just a little bit too much, but, there are quite similar stories, actually. Of course, this object was really strategic for Tito. What's interesting is that it was destroyed before the war, and it looks like it's still hiding a lot of different things. So that's why it's quite intriguing. It's not just an object that's still in the same shape as it was. No, it's destroyed, and then somehow we have to start digging and finding out what was there.
It's certainly not too far out for this show to talk about the possibility that there were alien visitors there. You have had some former Yugoslavian army people tell you that?
Honestly, right now, because we are in such an early phase of pre-production, it's kind of hard to talk, this and that person said that. But through some journalists, we somehow got in touch with them. Mm-hmm. But we're still waiting for reply and more info. So I will be able to tell more about it in sooner or nearer future. Even we are asking ourselves quite the same questions as others are questioning us. But I'm pretty sure that our story about the Yugoslavian space program will, we'll uncover. I mean, we have one intriguing story, and it looks to me that we are uncovering, 10 more intriguing stories. Mm-hmm. Just for instance, just to focus on Object 505, we got huge number of different things that probably were going on, but we'll see what's going to be interesting for our film. That's what I'm not sure for now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to invite our audience to join us in this conversation. And, ladies and gentlemen, the way you do that is there are two ways. You can give us a call at 623-444-5889. Or, and that's if you're in Canada or the USA. Now, if you're not in Canada and you're not in the USA, and you don't want to make that international long-distance call, what you can do is go to my website, and you scroll down till you see the picture about tonight's show, and right above that, there is a link that says Flash Message. So if you're not in Canada, you're not in the USA, you can use the Flash Message. If you're in the USA or Canada, please use the telephone. So if you have a question or a comment this evening for Giga Wirtz, 623-444-5889. To the telephone and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Hello, Jerome.
Hi. Giga, first of all, I want to thank you for being on the Kevin Smith Show.
Thank you.
Last night on Kevin's show, he gave a history of the area, and in the past, also, he's been a police official there, and we got quite a bit of history lessons. I just want to start out there. You mentioned your grandparents had a picture of Tito. Did your parents have a picture of Tito?
Well, no, actually, I didn't say that my grandparents had a picture of Tito, but for instance, when I went to their neighbors, for instance, they had them. But I'm not really sure if their children also got a picture of Tito hanging on the wall. Basically,
also,
it's not really usual
when you were talking of Pachownik. In his diaries, you said that if he was living in the United States, he might not have had such a short life. But at the same time, Nikolai Tesla lived in the United States, and yeah, he ended up having a miserable, you know, died in miserable
York,
conditions. Yeah. What gives you the idea that this Pachownik would have seem better, you know?
Well, just to give you an example, for instance, Levins also had two brothers which were developing airplanes at the same time as, well, at similar time as the Bright brothers. They were brothers. I forgot their surnames right now, but They were also developing them at exactly the same time, but, you know, as usual happens, bigger nations usually get the credits for inventions. They were brother Russian, sorry. It's early morning, 5 a.m. here. And therefore, that's why I came to conclude that somehow maybe he was over there. Maybe he just had to get the credit. I'm not saying that he didn't die when he was alive, but a lot of Mad Simon is also cool of Metal Tesla, for instance, and that way, but you might just get a little bit more of the credit, same. Now, Slovenian media space and internet and the way of thinking can be a little bit more open, actually, as you might have in United States, you know? Because, if, for instance, even lyrics of songs that, you know, would be censored in USA are just not censored here, for instance. So I kind of, it's really, really open society, I can say.
Oh, that's interesting, because here our society is getting much more closed. Did you ever hear the Kevin Smith Show before you were contacted by him?
Actually, to be honest, no, I haven't. I haven't listened to that before.
Well, you know, that's one of the things of being censored. If Kevin will discuss that about, you can't even find him on a search engine as being the number one talk show in that genre,
yeah,
and yet he is.
Well, actually, you can. If you go to Google, or Yahoo or Bing and just type in UFO talk show. We're number one on all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I found out that, yeah. It's really cool. And I'm really glad that I'm here talking to you right now.
With your project on ABC, I wish you great success with that project. And I hope that, you come back on to the Kevin Smith Show in the future and let us know exactly how that's going. And
well, Kevin, thank you. I'd be glad to do that.
Interesting show.
All right, Jerome, thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, it is closing here. It's not near as closed as it's going to be. But I've told people, and I get hot email sometimes from Americans who still want to think that they are the freest people on earth. And I've told them, man, there's a lot of places you can go where you'd be more free.
I can tell you some facts about the society here. For instance, I got a glimpse of this lifestyle, for instance, in Great Britain, because I also studied there. I was an exchange student, and then I went to London Film School for some workshops and so on and on. And, you know, the situation right now, I think Slovenia just went from this socialist idea of society to the democracy, and I think we are just right now on this way that we have the best of both worlds. For instance, healthcare, it's almost, I mean, it's not for free, but I think if you have to pay like 14 euros per month, you know, for general healthcare, which is like, what's that, $20? School is for free, universities are still free. My academy where I studied film directing was for free, and even I got funds from government to make film. And when you start explaining that to other people throughout the world, to my colleagues, to other film directors, they say, you know what, you have free education, and they even give you money to do your project. So that's, I think, something good.
All right, to the telephone and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. This is Steve from Georgia.
Hello, and, Steve.
My young friend from Yugoslavia, I'm very pleased to meet you over the phone and over the computer. My hat is off to you and to your mental courage in stirring up a lot of cognitive dissonance. You know, there's probably going to be a lot of that coming from the U.S., where people don't have the same courage to rip the veneer off the sterilized and polished version of our history and our status as a nation. You know, we're given a lot of things in our education system and fed daily in our media that probably aren't exactly true, you know, that don't give a clear and balanced picture of what we have been as a nation and the things that we've been involved in both the recent and distant past. And any opportunity that is presented to us as a people to clarify the picture, you know, to pierce the veil that's dropped in front of our eyes, you know, and we're told that the image on that veil is the way things really are, and it's not. It's not at all. It's just a patchwork pattern put together by people who want to control the way we think and our version of reality. And I want to thank you for the courage that you have to stir up the cognitive dissonance that's going to wash your way. And, you know, in my own research and digging around in history, I find what you're presenting to be entirely plausible. And I just want to express my thanks to you for doing what you're doing.
Well, that's great to hear. And thanks for your feedback. It's really precious. All these kind of feedbacks are really precious for our project, because looks like we are on the right way, because I was already questioning myself, you know, what are we actually doing? But I think that's that's the way to go.
Steve, thank you for the call. 623-444-5889 is the number to call. If you wish to speak with Zsiga Virts, and for all of you Americans, it's pronounced Zsiga, kind of a Z-H, Zsiga.
And you pronounce it great, just the right way. And by the way, just to let you know, the film is actually scheduled to go in pre-production in March this year. And while we're still looking for funding, for distributions and so on, so regarding the fact that USA is listening to me right now, we are open for anyone regarding this topic.
Outstanding. Let me, caller, if you will, just hang on just a moment. Let me ask you very quickly. We had a caller that asked you, had you ever heard of the show before I contacted you about being on the show? And you had not. And in fact, you know, we talked about that. You want to know where you can find out about the show and so forth. So, but let me ask you something. You'd never heard of us. Why did you agree to come on this show when you had never heard of us?
Well, basically, I Googled a little bit, you know, and then I found out it's really interesting show. But on the other hand, you know, I'm really, really happy for anyone that calls, even if we get like one phone call per minute, like we did a few days ago. our secretary was saying, no, director is not here, sorry, send him, you know, email. But I'm still really happy to reply to anyone that's, that shows some interest in the project, because you never know, especially our project, which is still in development. You know, I'm not here as some sort of, you know, PR guy that is just doing marketing, you know, come and watch our film at the cinemas, because it's not there, it's not made yet, so we need a lot of contacts. So therefore, I was really happy when you called.
Outstanding. Well, we're glad you're here. To the telephone and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hello, Brent.
I wish I could remember his name.
Zsiga.
Zsiga.
There you go.
Okay. I'm kind of the guy who calls in with a little bit of caution. How are you set up to deal with the people who are going to want to rip you a new one because they don't believe you?
Well, basically, I can say that we're questioning ourselves quite the same questions. You know, what's going to happen? But I think that, as I said, right now we're not really saying, you know, what's true, what's false, what's real, what's fiction. It's what we can prove and what we can't prove, but we will probably see in the sooner or nearer future. And therefore, even filmic style right now is not defined, you know, 100% yet. That's why we call it a docudrama, because it might have some dramatization, as, you know, films usually have, because there are some facts that there are no archive footage of. I think films should answer all those questions, and I'm really happy, for instance, for your question, you know, who's going to believe that and who's not going to believe, because that's my responsibility as a filmmaker to solve this. Well, if it's a problem or not, I'm not sure yet, but actually to answer those questions, yeah.
All right. I wish you well, my friend.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Brent.
Goodbye.
You know, as you were talking, the thought occurred to me, you're talking about archive film, and some archive film might not be available of some events.
Of course.
And I think you can pretty well count on that
definitely.
There will be some things that you're not going to find archive film. However, Vojska Yugoslavia would not be the only place to look for archive film. The DB. I guess you're familiar with them, the Secret Intelligence Service. DB, they would perhaps be a little bit open about this, since it's former Yugoslavian. So they might have some archives they would be willing to share with something like that.
Yeah, there are a lot of you know, archives or the places where should where we should start looking at.
All right, let's go to the telephone and caller. You're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, this is Mike from Kentucky.
Hello, Mike.
Hey, welcome to the show. I want to thank Kevin for having him on here. It's a great topic last night and a continuation tonight. My question to him is that in your research, between the years of 1951 and 1954, have you found any evidence that the Yugoslavian space program actually launched a man into orbit and then brought him back to Earth after one orbit?
Well, right now, because as I said, we are still in this research process, we have, well, mostly what we somehow found out or wrote a hypothesis is in this trailer. We're getting new and new info, but right now I can't really say, yeah, we have proof for that or we don't have proof for that. We have to wait a little bit for more, because we're still not sure how, if, you know, how, if this actually existed, how did it work, if they actually launched already someone into space, or it was just a technology to do that, or did they do some testing? That's still open for us also as the filmmakers.
Well, what you do have, though, which is a piece of evidence, it doesn't nail it down, but it's a piece of evidence, is photographic evidence of Tito talking to astronauts.
Yeah, definitely. That's
Yugoslavian one of, astronauts.
Yeah, that's that's one of the interesting photos we found out, but you know, even when you get some evidence, you still have to prove it, you know, from two or three more sources. But for instance, there is one, well, just an interesting detail that immediately after United States went to the moon, Tito got a rock, a stone from the moon immediately after that. And I think astronauts actually went to Yugoslavia to meet up with Tito. Mm-hmm. That's on photos, for instance. I mean, why, you know, why would you do that? So it's kind of intriguing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, Mike, another question?
One more statement. Mm-hmm. For the reason for asking the question that I did, when I was about 10 in the fourth grade back in 54, mm-hmm. I asked my teacher if she had heard of a rocket being launched with a man on it, and then eventually landing in Scotland. And that was the reason for that. My memory says that this happened. But facts don't necessarily back it up. That's why I'm asking.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's something new for me also.
Mike, I saw a posting about that, and I think it was on Above Top Secret. Someone else is talking about it.
Okay. Well, there's some more research for him, and maybe mm-hmm. he can answer these questions in the long run.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
And the important thing here is that you are, in fact, asking the questions. Questions that most people would not be willing to even get close to asking. We have to step away for a break, and we will be back, ladies and gentlemen, right after this, so don't go away.
You have a chat message from James C. Horak.
Ever be. is the night that you're feeling a breath on your face. The night that you dream and don't wake up crying is the night that you're lying next to her in place. And it's wonderful, so much more wonderful than it's ever been. And you want it more than you did before. You're never ever gonna have a woman love you like she did. You're never ever gonna have a woman love you like she did.
Copley from the United Kingdom, and you are listening to the fantastic Kevin Smith Show.
You are indeed listening to the fantastic Kevin Smith Show, and this is the fantastic Kevin Smith, along with the fantastic Žiga Virts this evening from Slovenia. I see by the clock on the wall, it's 5:30 in the morning there. So it's still very, very early there, and he's very graciously agreed to be up and be with us for this, and I really appreciate it. And Žiga, we have a flash message here from Ross in the United Kingdom. He says, "Hi, Kevin and Žiga. If this information proves accurate, it makes you wonder what other American technologies and achievements have been bought in from other countries." Let me comment on that. It makes me wonder which ones. I don't wonder that's a fact. I mean, you do realize that alternating current, though built and put in place here first, is really imported from Croatia with Nikola Tesla. I mean, you got to realize that's an import itself. But he says to Žiga, "Are you concerned that this is information the U.S. doesn't want the general public to know about?"
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that if at least half of those things proves to be right, I'm pretty sure that no one in U.S. would like that to be made public. But that's even more intriguing for us, you know, in a way, because that proves that we are onto something.
Well, I think you're definitely onto something.
For instance, of course, a lot of things are just important, like computer technology and, well, scientists, you know, like from, there are a lot of come from India, for instance, you know. So, everything's worldwide.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And I point out frequently here that in China, the number of geniuses in China outnumber the entire population of this country. And so there are smart people all over the world. And a lot of things happening, a lot of things going on all over the world. It's not just here. Let me give the telephone number again. The telephone number, ladies and gentlemen, is 623 444 5889 if you have a question or a comment for Giga Wirtz. Giga, the name of your company is Studio Wirtz.
Yeah, Studio Wirtz. That's a family company. This year, well, we're having 20 years since it was established. That means that it was established when I was 5 years old. Mm-hmm. It was mostly, basically established by my father and his brother, so my uncle, and with whom I'm writing actually a script for this film. That's Bustian Wirtz. And we've been so far into corporate video and television advertisement business, but right now we already have two feature documentaries already in post-production. This one in the research phase, which is a little bit more well-known, and another two also in the research. So we're kind of busy right now with documentaries and docudramas.
These other documentaries, are they in English, or are they in Slovenian, or what language are they in?
Right now, the two that we are just finishing were basically made for our national television. Mm-hmm. And they are, well, they have protagonists in they speak in Slovenian, but we mostly do subtitles for all films, just to, you know, so you can send them to festivals, maybe to other television stations, whoever feels like showing them. Mm-hmm. But we're going more and more international, so probably more or less all our next projects will be at least subtitled in English. Mm-hmm. Of course, if you have someone talking, you know, from Germany, of course, he will talk in German language, that's for sure.
It's a absolutely fascinating part of the world that you live in, and as I said, most people there speak many languages. And when I was there, I lived in the Balkans for 5 years. Mm-hmm. And in various places. I've Croatia, Bosnia, Kosovo, Macedonia. And then I visited, you know, I visited Slovenia. It was an unintentional visit. It was due to a snowstorm, and we had to land in Slovenia. But it was great. I loved it there. But it's the first time I heard this joke, and I've told it here on the air before. And that is, what do you call someone who speaks five languages? Well, you call them multilingual. What do you call someone who speaks two languages? Bilingual. What do you call someone who speaks one language? American. And unfortunately, I mean, that is a joke that all of Europe tells about us. And unfortunately, it's true that we don't, in general, we don't speak multiple languages. But that's why I was asking about what language was the film in, because there are so many languages in the area. The subtitles, you know, that's how I learned Serbian, was subtitles. Because
I think it's really your question regarding languages is that countries in Europe are, well, compared to USA, well, are of course smaller, so you have more, you know, different languages in one place. Mm-hmm. So therefore, we all have to know at least two or three more foreign languages. Mm-hmm. Well, English is, let's say, my first foreign language. Of course, I know some basics of Croatian, Serbian. But I have, for instance, that's a really interesting story, because I have a lot of interviews right now. I've been having a lot of interviews in Croatia and in Serbia. The problem is that the previous generations, they were all learning Serbo-Croatian, which is some sort of fictional, you know, language, but still helps a lot. And we haven't learned that at all, you know, because I went to primary school after independence, and we were all mostly learning German, English, and so on. And it's really funny, because they now all expect me, you know, to learn, I mean, to talk Serbian or Croatian in interviews. Mm-hmm. But we did actually most of them in English, just, you know, for the sake of quality, because, you know, I can order a beer and stuff like that in Serbian or Croatian, but I would prefer, you know, to do some more serious interview in English. And they find it a little bit weird, you know, they're asking themselves, you know, why is this guy from Slovenia doesn't want to speak in Croatian, because all Slovenians know Croatian, for instance. That's what they think. But mm-hmm. Yeah, times are changing.
times are changing, and the younger generation doesn't have the same need to know that language that the previous generation had. If I'm not mistaken, when you order a beer, it's «Dajme pivo I jedno pivo za sve».
Jedno pivo za sve. One beer for everyone.
That's right.
That's it. Yeah.
Okay. Now this Object 505. Now this is fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Object 505 is located in a political hot zone. Still, it's not a war hot zone. It has remains from the war. Mm-hmm. And let me put the map back up on the screen so people can see this. They can see a red triangle marking the spot where Object 505 is located, and we see a line coming down, curving down through there, and that separates Croatia on the left in this map from Bosnia on the right in this map. And on the map, it shows this red triangle being in Croatia. However, look how close it is to the line there, folks. And it's still a sort of a no man's land, where it's kind of disputed as to who owns that, I guess. The reason I bring that up, Žiga, is because when ABC gets over and they want to go up to Object 505, they're going to have to negotiate that, I guess, with both Croatia and Bosnia, right?
We are in contact with people that go there from time to time, and they actually allowed us to use some of their footage in our trailer or the presentation of our film that you can see at the end. This is the actual footage from Object 505. It's not fake or from some other place. That's the last two shots in the trailer with the guy climbing down the ladder. That's Object 505. And these are the guys that we are in touch with, and I'm really, really glad that, you know, they allowed us to use their footage, and they're actually going to help us to get there. And yeah, it's a problem because you have to negotiate with both sides. And honestly, right now, I'm not sure how do they do it.
Mm. All right, let's go back to the telephone and caller. You're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Good evening, Kevin. Good evening, Žiga. This is Alan from Old Hickory, Tennessee.
Hello, Alan.
Yes, hello. Good evening. Very good show. Amazing. I have a question for Žiga.
Okay.
Have you discovered evidence that perhaps Saturn V rocket engines and that kind of hardware was actually manufactured in Yugoslavia?
I have quite the same answer as I said before, that in this research phase, we have found, how can I put this? Well, some evidences for some part, and then some facts that are not yet confirmed, and some things that are some sort of hypothesis, just that we somehow connected those facts together. So I think it wouldn't really wise right now to say, yeah, we have facts for this, we don't have facts for that, because we have somehow everything still under development, under research. So right now, I hope I will have answer to that in a few months later on, and I hope we will hear each other again on Kevin Smith's show. But I think let's leave that right now for the research phase.
Okay. Certainly, I it doesn't surprise me, knowing some Slavs from that area, incredible mathematicians and incredible technical ability, that Jack Kennedy would have the fortitude to reach out and accept their expertise.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it kind of answered something else for me, that Jack Kennedy actually reached out to Nikita Khrushchev in 1963 and offered to merge the moon program with the Russians. Had you heard that, Kevin?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. And there was a lot. I don't know if you remember at the time. I remember. Boy, there was a lot of hot conversation about him being treasonous for doing that.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Okay, Alan, I want to thank you for the call. Do you have another question or comment?
No, that does it for me, Kevin. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
All right. I know how to say thank you in Serbian several ways. How do you say it in Slovenian?
It's hvala.
Oh, same. Isto.
Yeah.
Isto.
It's really funny because there are a lot of stuff that are quite similar and some other things that, I mean, words that sound similar but are just have completely different meaning. And by the way, I just got really interesting photo from 1961 of Apollo 11 crew driving around on the streets of Belgrade, Armstrong, Aldrin, and Collins, 1969.
Yeah. Cool. All right, we have to step away for a break, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll be back right after this, and we'll continue our conversation with Žiga Virts. welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. This is Kevin Smith. My guest is Giga Wirtz. He is the producer of the video that's rocking the world right now. And we have shown it here on this show with his permission. And thank you for that. You can see it on YouTube. It is called Houston, We Have a Problem. And my show last night was called Dober Dan, Nysa.
That's a nice title, yeah, for the show.
Yeah, it was Dober Dan, Nysa. You know, it's almost time. Sat, Chevapis, Alucum, Serum. Oh, man, I wish I could find some good chevapi here.
You can find them in Slovenia. There are a lot of restaurants serving Serbian food.
Yeah, that's one Serbian dish that I fell in love with. I absolutely love it for breakfast. And it's great in cold weather. I told you about this old Sheridan in the audience. The best hamburger in the world is in Slovenia. Slovenia, there is it's like a truck stop or a bus stop up there, and it's a restaurant, and they serve these hamburgers, and they're huge, they're gigantic, and really the best hamburger I ever ate. Great stuff. Okay. All right, we've just got a few minutes left here, and I want to explore with you for a moment distribution.
All right. Well, basically, we're still looking for new options of distribution of this documentary. Of course, we tried to go internationally. Mm-hmm. Right now, what we have confirmed is that we're starting with pre-production phase in March, and we already have a place for us on a pitching session, which will be held at the end of this year in Germany. And this is the panel where producers from all major broadcasters, all major television stations come together, and we will pitch them this project. And if we get, you know, that's the make it or break it situation, or the point of this project, where it will be decided who will actually maybe do a pre-buy, who will fund the film, who will co-produce it, and so on. But regarding the fact that we already got some emails from distributors for cinema, for television, in advance, before the film is made, I'm pretty sure that it will be distributed quite, you know, on a large scale. I hope so. So, but right now, that's all still, you know, part of pre-production process.
I cannot see how this could fail to get a large-scale distribution. This is gigantic. It really, really is gigantic. I saw on the internet, and I've had a couple of people tell me, that President Kennedy thanked Yugoslavia for their contributions to the Moon program. Okay, so I went looking for trying to find where, you know, the speech where he said that, and so far I haven't found it. Have you found it?
No. No, honestly, I'm not right now aware of particularly this speech.
I was told today by someone who should know that if I get the transcript of his speech, the full transcript from our national archives, that it would be, you could find it there. But I don't know which speech to look for. That's the problem. I was told that our National Archives does have that in a full transcript of this speech, where he thanks Yugoslavia for their contribution to our efforts to go to the moon, our Apollo program.
Right. We will look up for that, and I will check with my writer, because we are like two authors of this project. And well, he might know a little bit more. I will ask him also, because he's also doing a research, and I will definitely tell him this information. And I think this is also, you know, the answer to your question, why did I accept, you know, to talk to you at 4 a.m., because that's something that is precious for us, you know, so we will look for that.
If someone were to come to you in the next 24 hours and say, okay, Giga, we want to financially back your project here. How much money do you need?
Well, this is something I'm right now, you know, can't say really in numbers, but let's say this project is comparable to middle or low budget feature fiction film, just from the point of budget in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Does it make sense to you?
Yeah. And I guess it would depend too on whether you, and I'm not kidding about this, but whether you needed to hire a mine clearing team and get them clearance to go in there.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there will be like a lot of some really, really, I'm not saying bizarre in a way of, you know, I mean, there are serious expenses, but bizarre from the film point of view. And I'm pretty sure that a lot of things will just cost a lot of money in pre-production, or maybe just, you know, just paying the copyrights for archive footage, for instance, or for some information, you know. Because
mm-hmm.
I can't really, you know, talk anything in particular, but there might be actually some people that would say, okay, we can tell you something, or we can give you some info, but, you know, of course we want something in return. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty sure we will need much, much higher budget than usual docudramas or documentaries.
Well, I can tell you this. You already, with what you've done, you have Americans on the edge of their seat wanting more. They want more.
That's great.
And I have you, in your distribution plans, does that include distribution in America?
Definitely, we are not open for everything and anyone. Well, especially right now, because I'm on your show, I can say that if there is anyone listening to that show and is in some way connected to distribution in USA, feel free to contact me on Facebook or our company profile, which we have, our email. You can, you know, just search it and Google it. And we're definitely open for that, because the whole story is, of course, based on the territories of ex-Yugoslavia to United States. And usually where films are distributed are, well, the first place where they are distributed is the place where stories are actually happening.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely USA is the place to go.
Well, and, you know, this story happened not only, I mean, yes, the USA was involved in this story in a big way, but it also in a huge way happens in Yugoslavia.
Yeah.
And it actually happens there first. If it had not happened there, then we could not have been involved in it. What has been the response, and we'll have to get this from you very quickly because we're almost out of time here. What's been the response locally in the Balkans?
Well, the first response was actually from Serbia, because the media started contacting us. I mean, the responses are just mixed, you know. We haven't really figured out what's the general response. There is no general response. There are responses, whoa, we didn't know that, that's great, we want to see this film. To the responses, okay, this is a hoax, you know, if you're pulling our legs, you know, come on. And then we got responses, for instance, from officials from ex-Yugoslavian army, that some would state, yeah, we know there was something more going on in this Object 505. And for instance, some others said that it was at some interview that this is really a waste of time.
I wish we had more time. Giga, if you will, stay on the line with me for just a moment, because we have to bring this one in for a landing. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it. That's a wrap. I hope you enjoyed tonight's show. Thank you, Sheila Geertz, for being with us, and this will be an Academy Award winner, too. My friends call me Steely, my enemies do, too. You just call me whatever you want to call me, but keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.